You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello and welcome to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. My name is David Baer, and today I have the great, great pleasure of welcoming Johanna Makris. I did a pretty good job of pronouncing your name, didn't I?
It was perfect because you know it's a difficult one. It's three vowels in the row. Ioana. I mean, not even Greeks can pronounce it in the right way. So it was great. Yeah.
So Ioana, you have been so kind to stay up very late at night. You are in Greece right now, and you just told me that it's like 1:30 in the morning for you. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to have you come and join me in a conversation about your area of expertise, which is really about self-image for us as individuals and professionals, and the impact that can have in running our business and in interaction with our clients as well. But before we get to that topic, I want to sort of backtrack and talk a little bit about your background and how you found yourself in the role that you're in today. So do you mind sort of sharing how you got where you are?
Sure. I'd be glad to. Well, I initially from the corporate world. That's where I was an executive in the banking sector for many years, pretty happy there. And after a long career there, I realized that people that were in the same environment like me were not really progressing in their lives as well. So that put me some serious thought about work life and what happens there. Mm-hmm. And even though I managed to have a pretty successful work life situation, I decided that if I stayed there for a longer period of time, it would not be beneficial for me. And I had to think something different for my life. Yes. So I quit my corporate job, my career, and I was a homestay mom for a while. Mm-hmm. I had two kids, so I enjoyed that for a couple of years. And then I realized that, okay, it's nice to stay at home, but if you've been a career person and you've been very active, you want to start doing something more. So I realized that I was very good with people and discussing with them and help them out in issues. And people always, wherever I sit, want to ask for my opinion, and I am a good listener. So I realized that the coaching and speaking business was a very good career path for me, a good transition. And that's how I moved from my corporate life into building my own business in coaching, speaking, and training. And I got certified with the John Maxwell team.
So the leadership folks, right?
Leadership, yep. Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Leadership, and then I moved into personal development as well. And I realized that my story had to do a lot with self-image, because even though I was successful in all areas of my life, some pieces were missing, and it had to do with self-image. And that's how I ended up working on this and specializing with work-life issues of career professionals.
So, you know, I think that at first glance, somebody hears the phrase self-image and they're you know, not necessarily immediately going to make the connection to work-life balance. Can mm-hmm. you explain a little bit about how you've connected the two?
Yes, absolutely. So first of all, I'm busting the myth of balance, because I don't feel that there is, you can balance your life. You can put a weight in mm-hmm. work and in life, and you're one whole person. So the connection is that self-image is your self-regard, and you are one person in different roles. Okay. So once you realize what your value is and how you see yourself, then you can apply it in any area of your life and create the work life that you want and is best designed for you.
Makes sense. So
does that help us?
Yeah,
a bit?
Yeah. So let's dive into a little
creating. It's about creating an image of yourself that you have in your mind mm-hmm. That serves a work life situation that is best for you and moves you to the direction of your purpose, your vision, and your dream situation.
So I think as I'm thinking about it, and I see this very often in the way that somebody carries themselves in their personal life, mm-hmm. and then they turn on this character in their professional life. And so I'm assuming that that's really connected to what you're talking about here.
Yeah, it's something like we find ourselves like split personalities. We wear the different hats, and we become different people. And then what happens is that we lose ourselves in this different roles and different situations, because we are required to act in different ways. And what's hidden behind that is that unless you connect all the pieces and you feel as a whole, you cannot perform in the optimum way in any area of your life.
Okay. So I guess the question then is, how do you start the process of identifying what your true self is?
Mm-hmm. That's a very good question. And, you know, that's the very first question I ask my clients as well, because it's, do you know yourself? Do you know who you are? And that's a crisis I felt immediately when I quit my job and I stopped wearing my business suit and everything. And I was, you know, at home, relaxed. And one day I stood in front of my bathroom mirror and I stared at my reflection and I said, okay, who am I? Who am I? Am I a business professional? Am I a mom? Am I a spouse? Am I a sister? What am I? And then it made me think, and I worked with a professional as well in the personal development area and a coach, and it comes down to what your values are, what you stand for, and what is very important for you. And you connect those dots, and then you realize that once you know what your values are, this is the fundamental, then you can build your behavior around that and your choices and your priorities. And that's where work-life balance is not an issue anymore, because it's a matter of important priorities, and you put the pieces irrespective of your week, your 24-hour day, what is required by other people. It's determined from the inside out.
Yeah, as you're talking about this, I'm thinking back to two different times in my life where I changed careers, mm-hmm. and the career shift for me was all about my identity of myself as my profession, right? So I worked in the theater industry. I was the theater guy.
Oh, really?
I worked in the wine business. I was the wine guy. And mm-hmm. in the wine business, at least, the company imploded. I lost my job. And with it, I felt like I lost my identity. Mm-hmm. And so what you're speaking about here really resonates with me in that respect. And then I had to go and figure out what I wanted to do next, and you know, professionally, and also who was I. You know, I often describe that period of time as me becoming an accidental entrepreneur, right? And I think a lot of people, particularly with the pandemic experience, are going through something similar to what I went through in that period, which is that they have to redefine who they are, whether they're even changing jobs or not. We have had a shift in the way that we're living our lives.
Exactly. There's always a triggering point, be it the pandemic now or something that happened in your life, that makes you look inside, or what I you know, just described as an event in front of my mirror, and makes you ask these questions, which are deep questions, and they're painful questions, because mm-hmm. you usually don't have the answer. And because you have been wearing those hats, and your personality was exactly what you said, the wine person and this person and the other person, and you ask yourself, where am I at my core?
Yeah.
And you have to start from scratch defining yourself. So that's why I say, the best starting point is your values. What's important for you? What's significant? What is non-negotiable for you? And if you have that very clear in your mind, then you can start building and say that wherever I am, whatever I do, entrepreneur, executive, employee, whatever, a mom, a husband, whatever I do, it's so clear for me that I have no second thoughts, and I very easily decide what I have to do. And then I also, how should I best describe it? I get my energy from that. Mm-hmm. I'm not energy drained, let's say. Okay, because this is what usually happens. If you're here and there and you're not sure about what you represent and who you are, then there's confusion. And where there's confusion, you feel stuck and you are energy drained.
You know, as you're talking about values, I'm thinking about the work that we do in our firm. And we do consulting work with clients around marketing and marketing strategy. Mm-hmm. And we very strategically put the very first thing that we do before we even start talking about the marketing activities is we have our clients go through a core values assessment. Because, and I think this will really speak to you, and then maybe you can help us refine this even further, is when we put the marketing activities into place that we all sort of agree on, we then look back at the core values and say, is this reflecting your core values? Or if it's not, we need to change it. Mm-hmm. And so I can see this connection between the importance of core values as it relates to the business side of you, right? That business hat, that business personality, right? If you want to be able to, I guess, connect the two more easily, your personal life and your business life, and have a more genuine experience in your business life, which I guess is what we're doing by doing the core values. I hadn't really thought of the repercussions or the effect of it in that regard, mm-hmm. but it's really creating a more genuine relationship with your prospects and clients if you are thinking about your core values at the beginning of it. So now what have I missed here? Because clearly you have probably additional insights.
Well, you got it right. I mean, it's amazing because core values and exactly defining your business side, your core values are the same, irrespective of business or personal life, right? It's core values. It's your core. So being authentic is something of huge importance when you market yourself and your business, because this is how you best connect with the audience. You're the specialist, you'll tell me, but I hear all the time that it's about authenticity, mm-hmm. and not pretending something different than what you are. So unless you are yourself and you know who you are and you know your core values, you know, this will reflect in your message. This will reflect in your behavior with your prospects. This will reflect when you promote, when you copy your copy, in everything, mm-hmm. right? So core values, very, very important. I mean, you've nailed it. It's a great starting point.
Well, I'm glad now. Thank you for making us aware of that. We just thought we had a good thing. What I will say is, yeah, it is, authenticity is an important piece of the way that business is done now. Mm-hmm. If you think back to the 1950s, or if you think back to, you know, 100 years ago, there were different things. So, you know, hype or hyperbole or, you know, big flashiness that was not authentic. It was just getting people's attention is the way that consumers made buying decisions, right? Mm-hmm. These days, though, I think we're exposed to so much. There's more awareness about ourselves personally. A lot of the work that you do has probably impacted the way that, you know, people think and behave. And so authenticity is much more important in business than it ever has been in the past. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if you can guide us through. Mm-hmm. You know, I mentioned to you that some of the people we work with are professional services business owners, people who are assisting or working with a client one-on-one. Mm-hmm. Some of the types of situations that someone might find themselves in those roles, that they may want to step back and say, am I being the word of the moment is authentic, but am I being true to myself? Or do I need to make some adjustments? What would be some clues that they might maybe either reflecting from the way that their client is reacting to them, or what are the types of things they might pick up on that they say, oh, I might want to have a look at this a little bit more deeply, or I might want to change this.
Okay. So, you know, what usually happens is that business people focus on marketing and sales and systems, and they do that with consistency, and they choose professionals like yourselves and have the perfect system there. But sometimes their marketing efforts fail. So even if they have the best time-tested proven strategies, the best strategist and the best consultant, sometimes they fail and they wonder why. And you know, marketing and advertising in a broad sense is about attracting new prospects and converting them into buyers, let's say. So what they usually do is they engage in a number of options that are available in the markets. They see they don't work, and they accept the thinking that sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. Like you say it in your website. I love that. I went through your website and I said, oh my God, I mean, core values that you mentioned now and this about this conditioned and programmed thinking that used to be there out there, that sometimes just accept that sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. So it's something similar. I really put some thought on that. And I said, what could be holding them from success with their marketing before they even engage in strategy issues that you tackle? Like you mentioned three common problems that you address, David, right?
Yeah.
And these are strategy issues that you solve so they can improve their results. But what's holding them back from maxing out an excellent proven strategy is what you say, it's conditioning and programming, but conditioning and programming about ourselves. How we think of ourselves, how we think of our self-image, as I mentioned before, our inner image. And just to make it clear, because we touched upon that in the beginning of our discussion, our self-image is the idea that we have in our mind, in our mind's eye, of what sort of person we are. So this is the identity part.
Yes.
It's who I am. How successful we're meant to be. And how we feel in response and act in response to different life experiences. So all these three are our self-identity, right? So because this is formed by our past, our previous experiences, our memories, and our environment, comments and actions that have people said and done, and have resided in our subconscious, they have formed our self-identity. And we think, feel, and act based on this identity and this image that we have in our mind, okay? This determines our results. Now, what's very important to note here before we even explain what they can say, what they can do, and why it happens is that there's a phrase that has stuck in my mind and that has helped me in everything I do, that you cannot outperform your own self-image.
You cannot outperform
your own self-image. That means that if you have an image in yourself of that you are, let's say in numbers, that you are a six, your results will never be a seven. So if your self-image is a six, your marketing results, how you promote yourself and how you show yourself out there and what how your copy is, will never be a seven. So no wonder why you might have your consultant telling you the best strategies, but you're stuck. You're stuck because you have this lid, of your existing self-image. And
the interesting thing is you mentioned that second thing of the three pieces is also a lid that you can put on it, which is what it was, salary or how much you can earn, right? And so people are predetermining, all right, well, I'm not supposed to, or I shouldn't be because I haven't projected being more successful than this. And so this is going to hold me back. It's fascinating.
Exactly. You actually self-sabotage your marketing efforts. This is what you do. You either, because that could be for a number of reasons. You might have feel insecurity, self-doubt, have a low self-esteem, past failures always, you know, create an issue. And there's a whole belief system that holds you back and creates the situation that you project for your results. You see?
Yeah.
So let me give you an example so it's clear for the people that are listening. Something, how does it show up in our day-to-day marketing? So something that we're asked to do is to define or choose or select, pick a verb that's best, upon your audience, right? So your consultant asks you, you know, pick your audience, your niche. if you have a low self-esteem, do you know that this might sabotage who you pick as your audience? And you might not select the best audience that could give you the best results because you're afraid to approach people that could be, in your mind, a 7 if you feel a 6.
Interesting. I was thinking this is sort of like, or maybe it's connected to imposter syndrome, where you feel like you don't really deserve to be in the position you're in, so you'll choose a different position.
Mm-hmm. Very much the same. So in marketing, it's about picking your audience. It's also about viewing a position in yourself as an expert,
mm-hmm.
right? You're required and you might have the knowledge and be an expert, but you don't feel you're an expert. So you're afraid to bring your expertise to the market. Or something else that we often see is that the question about our self-worth and the value of what we offer to the market, and you know, even if it's free, even if it's a freebie,
mm-hmm.
you might find people that say that, oh my gosh, this is not of very significant value because you don't value it yourself, because you don't value yourself enough.
Yeah.
Goes to paid, as you mentioned, because mm-hmm. then you're afraid to ask for the right, you know, return for your service.
So, and I've seen this come out in price, that people will price lower because they're not comfortable or confident in charging more.
Exactly.
And it sabotages them in two ways. First, it doesn't bring them as much income. Second of all, when you price too low, the audience who would gladly pay a lot more because they value what you're delivering at a higher price will look at it and say, well, that's too inexpensive. There must be something wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, the second step is that it not only creates a money issue, but it holds you back and delays your success because you procrastinate, you feel afraid, and you hold back. For example, you don't send that email that you are supposed to sell, or you procrastinate in bringing out the course you're trading or your product and service to the world,
mm-hmm.
or you procrastinate in crafting your message, your about, your website. So you keep holding back and you remain stuck, and practically you massively diminish your results.
It sounds a little scary to me to be in that position. I'm glad that I'm not completely there. Although as you're talking about it, I'm thinking about, you know, little things that I need to improve along those lines. And I imagine we all do.
And you also might find that while you're advising your clients to do certain things, you might see that they're not progressing. Mm-hmm. And even if your strategy is correct and your relationship is very good with them, there might be a hidden self-image issue behind the whole thing. And that's why they're holding back and they're not progressing.
Wow. Okay. So you've taken this from, you know, sort of where we are, seeing ourselves in the mirror as you described your situation, to how this can affect your marketing, your positioning, your success rate, and also the success of your clients.
Mm-hmm.
And so for somebody who's reflecting some of what we're talking about now, they're listening to us and saying, gee, that I may be challenged in some of these areas. What is like the recommended first step that they need to take? Obviously, looking at core values on your own makes sense, but how does somebody go about that?
Okay, well, that you have to, it's hard to do it on yourself. You have to have a mentor, a coach, you work mm-hmm. with someone to help you on that, and discover what your core values. Of course, there's a series of questions that you can ask yourself, like what's important to you, what you brings you happiness, what you love about, what makes you cry. Very strong emotional points that will reveal your values and see how you have behaved in the past in certain situations. So that helps you reveal your values. And of course, there are many assessments and systems that can help you mm-hmm. To discover that. But moving further from the values, let's say that you have a system there, and you mentioned that you have the core value system and you help them through this situation. What they have to do next is to see if their existing self-image serves the end results they expect from their marketing. Because if they cannot see themselves today in the future situation of the result that you promise them or they want, and they sort of think it's clear to them, but if they don't feel that they walk in those shoes today, then they have to make some shifts in their belief system. So the next step is to see what are your non-serving beliefs, remove them, and then start becoming with a certain, there's a certain process for that. It's not done overnight. And then recreate, re-engineer your self-image to serve your future self that will be thinking, behaving, having habits, and acting as the person that will be enjoying in the future the result that you want.
So there's a lot of present and future tense there, but I followed it. One of the things that you said at the beginning of this answer, though, was the importance of working with a professional, because it's really hard to do this on your own.
It will take you ages. I went the hard way. I did it for myself for a long time, and it took me ages until I realized that I have to find, you know, a coach and work and go through some programs and education. Sure. And then everything went much faster.
So this is actually part of the work that you do with people. I know that you're working locally in Greece. Are you working internationally as well?
Currently, I'm working both in Greece and abroad, but I'm mostly working with Greek-speaking career professionals. So they might be in Greece or they might be all over the world. So for the time being, it's Greek-speaking.
Excellent. And for people who do fall under that classification, are in your audience, we want to make sure that they can find you. And for people who aren't but want to chat further with you, I assume the door is open to have a conversation as well.
Obviously, yes, definitely.
Yes. So where's the best place for folks to find you? I know that you're on LinkedIn and elsewhere, but what's the best place for them to reach out to connect with
you? I think the best thing is to find me in LinkedIn and in Facebook. And then we can take it from there. They can message me, private message me, or find me there and see, you know, some of my posts are also in English, so they can see a bit of my work. And we can take it from there.
Great. Well, the best way to find you on either of those platforms, LinkedIn or Facebook, is to just do a quick search, because your name is in both the English alphabet as well as in the Greek alphabet. But if you're searching, it's JoannaMakris. Just search there, and we'll leave links for both of those profiles in the show notes as well. Anything you want to wrap up with before we finish?
Well, you know, if I could put it in a few words, is that how you do anything is how you do everything. So how you act and think and behave in your personal life shows in your business life as well, and in your marketing, and in everything you do. So it's very, very good for you to observe how you think, question yourself why some things are not happening and why you're not satisfied. Not always show with a finger to others, situations or other people, show a little bit inside and see what you might, work on that a bit and develop. Because it's all about being. This is how we started our discussion. It's about being you. Who you are, a human being, at your core, acting in different roles, and who you are becoming to serve your end result and your purpose and your values. So it's about being and becoming, and breaking invisible boundaries that could be holding you back from maximizing your success in any area, and in marketing as well.
I love that. And I think the whole idea of understanding yourself is something that so many of us overlook until a later point in our lives. And as soon as we do embrace it and do take the time, we learn a ton and can improve in so many ways. So, Johanna, it was an incredibly valuable conversation. I'm grateful that you had the time to made the time in the middle of the night to come and join me here. And I want to thank you very much for doing so.
Well, thank you for having me, David. It was an excellent discussion. I love what you do. I really love the process that you have with your people. And this exactly that you mentioned about starting with core values shows that how you care about your people. And it's not only tactics and strategies, but it's actually the whole person behind what you do and your relationship with them. Thank you so much, and I wish you best of success in what you do.
Well, thank you as well. So folks, you've been listening to More Perfect Marketing. I hope that you'll tune in again for another episode real soon. Take care.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. For a collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, please visit getdavidsgift.com. That's getdavidsgift.com. Once again, thanks for listening to More Perfect Marketing.